This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, Series 6, Episode 48. Back to basics. Coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, we go right back to basics and talk about the grip. It's something we've not talked about in over 330 shows, so we're going to cover it this week. We also talk about when you need to have a break and how to manage that, and what to do with a player who wants to improve his game and become more aggressive without losing technique. All that and more coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. Welcome to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. This is half an hour of cricket coaching and playing chat with three cricket coaches. The first is me. My name is David Hinchliffe and I look after things. And joining me, first of all, on the line from Millfield School, it's the Director of Cricket Coaching there. It's Mark Garraway. Hello, Garris.
How are you, fella? You okay?
Very good, thank you. Yes, another early start for us, but we are ready to go. Jumped out of bed like a spring and ready to talk cricket for the next half an hour or so. And second of all, it's the cricket professional at Portsmouth Grammar School. It's Sam Lavery. Hello, Lavers.
Hello, David.
And we're just before we started there, Lavers, you're just talking about how you've missed your one lie-in of the week.
Yeah, Wednesday's usually the slower start, so usually I get at least another 45 minutes, but not today, not this week, but never mind.
So never let anyone say that we're not committed to the cause.
Absolutely.
But every now and again, people do need breaks. So as there is a sort of natural break in things that happens around Christmas time, I wanted to talk a little bit about breaks. Breaks for players and possibly even breaks for coaches, in that there is, for a lot of people, there is less cricket going on around this time of year, even if you are lucky enough to be playing in a country where there is cricket around about Christmas. Even then, there's still some time off around that. So I wanted to get your thoughts on managing that time and managing how much time you have away from the game, and both physically in terms of, you know, hitting balls or playing games if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, or also on the mental side of the game, as in how you have a mental break from the game and you stop thinking about it. So, Garris, what kind of advice do you give to keen players who maybe just want to keep going all year round, but have heard that maybe building a break from time to time is a good idea?
Well, I certainly encourage a lot of our players to get away from the game for a bit. They've worked really hard in the first part of a winter program here at school, so they have to stay on top of their fitness program. So they've got some really basic stuff that they can do without a gym when they go away. So, you know, you're looking at your lunges, your squats, your presses, your pulls, all of that sort of stuff. We send them away with a TheraBand so they can continue to work on their shoulder strength and their shoulder mobility, because we're getting more and more into a throwing program at the present moment in time. So if they run through that three or four times a week, depending on what their program tells them at the moment, then that's happy. I'm quite happy if nobody hits a ball between now and when they come back in the first week of January, but I know that they will, because some guys go off to their counties and work with their counties extensively. We've got a number of fellas around the world playing cricket over Christmas, whether it be back in their home countries of India or Dubai, or out on England under 19 tours, or whatever the case may be at the moment. So it does vary for everybody. But I think the crucial thing for anybody who's listening out here is, if you're a coach, for example, I encourage people to not do any coaching, but to invest in their coaching in this time. So an example of that in, say, South Africa, New Zealand, or in Australia would be to either watch by going along to the games or on television, to actually watch a day's play, because sometimes of test matches. So, you know, go to the MCG, go to Sydney, go to Newlands, go to wherever the games are on, and watch them. Because I think sometimes when we're involved in our own games, we don't end up watching them quite as well as we should be doing. So if you're a coach out there, go and do that. Even if you sit in front of your television for a day, I'm sure your missus won't be 100% happy with that. But if you sit in front of your telly and actually watch the game rather than just sort of be sitting on the sidelines as we do when we're coaching and getting loads of questions chucked at us, I think that's good. I also think that's good for players as well, because they can get really sort of engrossed in their own game and their own performances, particularly if you're playing in the off season of England's off season or your own season back at home, and give yourself a bit of a break, but keep your eye on what other people are doing. And with the Big Bash kicking off over in Australia, we're going to see lots of 2020 cricket, so yeah, tap into some of that as well, but not necessarily hitting balls and bowling balls and throwing balls. So fitness for me is massive. And secondly, just keeping abreast, because we've got a break, keeping abreast of the things that are going on around the world, because it might invigorate us or give us an idea to come back to when we start again in January.
Navis, what sort of break in terms of the amount of time away from the game, what sort of a break would you advise your players to have?
Well, our guys have probably gone through about 8 weeks. We've got one more week, so we finish school on Friday, but then we have one more week of cricket after that, where the boys come in and have their one-to-one sessions, and they have a few group sessions still next week. And after that, they're kind of in the clear for probably about 2.5 weeks. And given that they've been through about 8 weeks prior to that, 2.5 weeks is a fairly good chunk, and it's not so long that they're going to start forgetting things particularly, and they're going to start losing the good habits they've started to build up. But it's a nice little way of freshening themselves up. I think even though 8 weeks isn't a particularly long time, and they might think that they can just carry on and they want to keep going, they've got to realise that ahead of them after that, there's going to be another 12 weeks to the start of the season, and possibly a bit more, so 12 to 15 weeks there. And then there's going to be another 15 to 20 weeks through the season as well. So sometimes the difficulty is they've already had their break. So they've had that 3-4 week spell off at the end of the season where they've not done anything. And they've come back into their winter program, and they're working through it, and they're enjoying some successes, or they're being met with some obstacles, and they're thinking about how they can get around them. So sometimes the temptation is to keep going and really try and push on and use the time as much as they can. But they aren't going to get a break now after this one for a long time, which we're looking at over 30 weeks. So, I'd definitely recommend a couple of weeks here just to freshen up. Look at some other things, as Gareth has said there. Think about what cricket's going on away from their own game. Is a really good way to just prepare them for what is then going to be a fairly long period, a consistent period of regular training and regular games eventually when Christmas is over.
Yeah, you do want to think that far ahead, don't you? Because, you know, there does come a time in every cricket season where the energy just starts, levels do start to dip a bit, and you do start to think, well, I'll be glad when the season's over. And maybe that comes, you know, middle of the season. But you want to manage that as much as you can.
We've actually done that with two of our senior bowlers who they've been on their fitness program through the winter, but they actually haven't done anything at all so far. Yet they're kind of 17, 18 years old, and they've been training probably 10 months a year for the last, I'd imagine, the last 4 or 5 years now. And it's a nice little break for them to just have, rather than having 2 weeks off at the end of the season, we've given them 10 weeks off at the end of the season. There aren't many major concerns really with them technically. There are a couple of little things they can improve on, but they're pretty good at making changes to that. And I think given the time off, they'll probably be a little bit more constructive with the time they have, because they won't be thinking, oh, we've got another 20-week winter. We've got maybe a 12-week winter or a 15-week winter ahead, which means we've got to be a little bit more productive in the time that we can use.
Okay, so let's sum up this section with the yes-no round. That's three questions that can only be answered yes or no, no matter how much more that the team want to say. I've got the questions here, so let's fire away. First question, being a team player makes you a better individual performer?
No.
Second question, goals should conform to the individual rather than individuals conforming to goals?
Yes.
Third question, proper planning prevents poor performance?
No.
It's time now for the questions portion of the show. Here we answer a couple of questions that have been sent in to listeners of the show. And they get their question answered, and they also get the chance to win the prize of the online coaching course, courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And you can send your questions into us by emailing coach@pitchvision.com. And that is exactly what Brendan's done. Brendan's a coach because he says, when asked how he would like to build a batting program for the off-season, a 16-year-old said, I would like to work on batting more aggressively and taking on the bowler. I would like to be more assertive in my batting style. Technically, he's worked hard and is compact. He's not a natural athlete and he's a little flat-footed. The fact that he appreciates the need to change his mentality when batting is a good thing, and I ask for your help with regards on how to best progress him. And best wishes for the festive period. So thank you, Brendan. And what do we think? Gareth, how do we get someone a bit more assertive?
Well, it sounds like he's got a pretty decent game as it is, doesn't it? You know, he sounds quite technically sound. And he's also of an age where physically he's probably gone through a peak height velocity, or he's in the process of that and coming out the other side of it. And so strength is going to start to pick up quite significantly over the next couple of years. Leading into his 20s, really. So there's an opportunity here to develop some power, to give him the opportunity to hit the ball hard. And the stuff that we're seeing around the world now in T20 and one-day cricket and the way that people are hitting it, I think is a technique in the same way as hitting the cover drive is a technique. And it isn't just a slog anymore. And it sounds like your player, Brendan, is about ready to learn that technique. And effectively, as we talk about a lot on this show, it's about learning how the kinetic chain can help to produce power, learning how somebody can develop the whack over the top or into the stands as part of their toolkit, and going about it in the same fashion as you would do with drop feeds and underarms and hitting stationary balls, even putting a ball in a sock and just whacking it with repetitions and just getting used to the body unwinding, really, and using those legs, those hips to chuck some momentum up the kinetic chain and into the arms and the hands, leaving the bat to come through last and ultimately to be pretty square as you're hitting the ball. So your hips to be squared up, shoulders to be squared up, and something more akin, I suppose, to a golf swing than what we would consider cricket technique maybe 25 and 30 years ago. But it sounds like he's ready. And as I say, rather than seeing this as something which is a slog or one-day cricket specific or T20 cricket specific, which is where, obviously, it started from, I actually think that doing the stuff that Julian Wood, who's now working with the England teams, and Steve Wilson, who's working here and runs our power hitting program, are doing, it's another shot within your repertoire that you can pull out of your cricket bag whenever the moment is right. So I'd get stuck into that. He sounds like he's got a good game. Let's add this to him. It might just take him to another level that he didn't think that he was capable of.
Rotation is a tough one as well, isn't it? I've seen guys, you know, obviously decent players, and then it happened last season, actually, playing against the guy who hit one to point, hit one to cover, hit one to extra cover, and then hit one to mid-off, all in the same over. And every single shot was a really nice shot. And, you know, in the nets, it would have been, you know, everyone would have said, oh, lovely shot that. Oh, you'll be well on your way to getting some runs here. But he just faced four dots. And he'd done everything right, you know, quote-unquote right. And yet he still had faced four dots. And then he started to get frustrated. And, I mean, anyone would if you did that, if you managed to do that. But that is an important part of the game, isn't it? To know that, yes, you need to have a way of rotating the strike. But also, yes, you need to have the patience to know that if you do play four lovely shots and you don't get any runs for it, that's okay. You know, you keep, as long as you know your game, then you can keep going.
I think it comes down to self-awareness, that, doesn't it? And you know, understanding the way that you go about it, but also about having an awareness of the game, because you know, hitting that fielder four times can be acceptable at some points within certain game contexts. In other ones, it's not going to be, is it? Because the game might mean that we've got to miss fielders, and if we hit those fielders, then that's all it's going to do is increase the pressure on both yourself, the person at the other end, and anybody who's going to be coming in the next period of time. So all I would say is that the best players that I see are the ones that, yeah, they, of course they hit a fielder. I mean, it's not as if every best player in the world hits a gap every time that they hit a good shot. But what they do is they learn from that. And if it's a consistent thing that happens week on week to that player, then it's got to be something that if he's not willing to look at himself, then somebody else has got to facilitate him looking at that himself. Because all that's going to happen is that frustration is going to build around everybody if it's a repeated thing. If we're not learning from the mistake that we're making every single week, then we've got to try and break that cycle a little bit. So that would be my thought on that. And in terms of mentality, going back to the question, I think the crucial thing is that Brendan, the player's got his game, and it's fantastic. And you know, he plays within it, but he's come to you and said that he wants to expand. So there's, you know, when we talk about mentality, he's already made the biggest step, which is making that decision. And what he now needs is the tools. So he needs to work at some skills and some tools and trust those skills to then be able to take it into the match. So, you know, he's come to you and said this is what he wants. First thing I would do is teach him to really unleash that power by using his legs, getting his kinetic chain going, pointing his shoelaces in the direction of where he's trying to hit the ball. And away he goes, and literally build that practice. So you stretch him and stretch him and stretch him until he gets to a point where he's confident to put that in a game. He gets one or two balls away in a game and you won't stop him. But the great thing, as you say, is he's got a really sound game that he can mix it up rather than just going hell for leather and hoping for the best. And I'd be really excited to hear how he goes in the future.
Yeah, it's fabulous. You know, and you can try things, can't you, in the nets? You can see what works for you, what doesn't work for you, and look at different ways of trying to put the ball into different places and see what happens. And then if you what is most successful is the thing you can develop further. So, you know, it's quite a lot of fun when you're working with a player who wants to expand their game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. And that's the starting point for me. If somebody comes and says they want to do it, we've got George Bartlett's gone to Sri Lanka. Last year, if he was looking to score runs quickly, he would start taking very, very high-risk options, trying to run it over the top of the keeper or run it over the top of fine leg to try and pick up his boundary. One of the things that I enjoyed in his 94 yesterday against Sri Lanka was the fact that he hit two sixes, because one of his bits has been to hit the ball straight down the ground or hit the ball straighter and hit the ball hard. So we've worked at this power hitting thing. He's a classic player, he uses his wrists a lot, but we've worked at this power hitting thing, and then all of a sudden he's popped two sixes on a test ground, which I'm quite pleased about.
Next question, we are going right back to basics here. It's from Akhil, and he's confused. And he says, I want to work on my stance. How should I hold my bat? I'm confused about my bottom hand grip. I'm a right-handed batsman, and I like to play shots on the ground. I'm sure you can provide me with some helpful tips. So, grip is very basic, isn't it? But there are a few different ways grip hold that the bat? You see, especially with players who perhaps, you know, they've established their game a little bit rather than being complete beginners. But is there any grip that you see where you think, actually, this is causing a restriction here. This is something that we need to have a look at.
Yeah, you see a lot of them, really. But again, I'd always watch for a load of time before doing it. You know, I think it'd have been easy to jump in on players too early. And Graham Smith was somebody I worked with at the age 17, and he had the same grip at 33 as he had at 17, and 17,000 runs under his belt. So I'd have taken any one of those. Maybe a little inside edge to backward square for one in Test cricket would have done me, but he got 17,000 international runs with what it was technically, I suppose, against the models that we've always had in our head, an absolutely shocking grip, which no doubt limited him, but it worked for him. And it also meant that he was incredibly strong in certain areas. But I think that the key thing for me, Akhil, if we relate this back to you, is it sounds to me as you're a bit of a tinkerer of the game, because you're brilliant at writing questions into us. So you're a tinkerer, and Graham Smith is a stubborn old mule who didn't want to change. And somewhere in between on that scale, you've probably got the right answer for you. But we can always, I was a tinkerer as well. I was always looking at my stance and my grip, and should I have an open stance? Should I close it up? Should I stand my feet together? All of that sort of stuff. But bottom line is, I missed the opportunity, and there would have been one in my career to go, actually, this is what I do, and this is when I'm at my best. But I didn't recognise it, I didn't assess it, and I certainly didn't stick to it. Whereas Graham Smith just decided, do you know what? This is what I do, and I'm going to get really, really good at it. So instead of looking for all the different answers, think back to when you played at your best. Think back to what you were doing, what that looked like, what that felt like. I've talked about visualization before, but really associate into that and remember what your bottom hand grip did. Maybe grip the bat and put yourself back into that situation and go, do you know what? For the next 6 months, I am going to commit to doing this and I'm going to master it. Because the challenge with all cricketers is that you end up tinkering with stuff all of the time and you end up not getting anywhere near where you should do. So I'm looking at Graham Smith on a pitcher now, 17,000 runs. For some reason, he's decided that he might want to play international cricket again. He's looking at his options ahead of him. His body's in better nick than it has been for a donkey's years, which is very obvious. But he'll come back. If he plays Test cricket again, he'll come back with exactly the same grip as I saw as a 17-year-old. And he'll probably end up adding another few thousand runs to those 17,000 that he's already got.
So did you actually say to him about his grip when, you know, all those years ago, where you sort of think, right, you know, come on, we've got to sort this out because it looks horrible?
Yeah, I did. And he said thanks, but no thanks. Yeah, but what one of his biggest skills, I think, is managing people. And what he's done over the years is he's listened to people and nodded his head sort of gone along with what you're saying, but not necessarily done it. And I know that he's had real battles in his head about whether he should change or not. But I think his resilience and strength of character has meant that that he didn't make a change. You know, it worked for him. The only change, I was talking to Gary Kirsten about him recently, and the only change that Gary ever said that he felt like he should come up with is he said, right, I really want to change the way that change my stance because I want to open up the offside more. And this was quite late on his career when Gary and him worked together. And Gary said to him after a while, not instantly, he said, Graham, to be brutally honest with you, you've done pretty well doing what you're doing, so why don't we just get back to that? And that's what they did. And then he ended up finishing really strongly again. So, look, I'm not saying that everybody should be stubborn about their game, but I think there's a medium, there's somewhere in between. You're Akhil who's always searching, and you're Graham Smith that's going to stick with there. And on that continuum somewhere, you'll find yourself. And if I had my way again as a player, I'd have come back from Akhil's place and put myself somewhere further down the list towards a Graham Smith. Where that would have been, I don't know. But I'd have definitely thought about, what did I do when I was at my best? How was I gripping it? How was I standing? What was I thinking? And I'd try and do that a bit more often than I did, instead of changing all the time. As the sun comes up here at Millfield, I see in the distance a bloke getting onto his soapbox, putting air in his lungs, and he's got a minute. Off you go, mate.
The soapbox right at the top of one of those tours over there somewhere.
It is. It's right at the top of a tour. I've got my telescope on you.
Okay, all right. So I wanted to talk this week about being nice. Being nice is one of those double-edged words. If you say somebody is nice, or a team, you know, are nice people to play against, you kind of mean two things. You kind of mean you enjoy it, but you also kind of mean it in a slightly derogatory way, in that it's not always the best way to be. And sometimes I think maybe it's best to try, not necessarily to be nice, but to be a lot more positive in the way that you're using those words. So sort of removing that word nice from the vocabulary of what you're trying to be, and maybe be confident, or be assertive, or be strong. Using words like that, you can still get all the benefits of being nice and all the good side of being nice without that negative side where people are thinking, well, these guys are going to be a pushover. It's going to be very easy for us to play against them. And when it comes to a real pressure situation, they're not going to be able to deal with it because they're too nice. And I would just call for people to be a bit more assertive. And that is the end of the show for another week. It's been exciting, it's been dramatic, it's been controversial, as always. But we're going to go now. Before we do, we're going to decide on a winner of the competition. The two questions sent in by the listeners to the show get the chance for a prize of the online coaching course from Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And we had Brendan's question about helping a player change his mentality when it comes to batting, and Akhil's question about his grip. Gareth, which one did you prefer this week?
Well, I liked Akhil's question in the end. It didn't grab me initially, I have to say. But once we got into some discussion, I thought it was really strong, and I hope we've given you some advice there, Akhil. But I'm not going to give you the prize this week because I want you to have a good old think about what your game's about rather than looking at Michael Bevan or Kevin Peterson or anybody else for that matter. So Brendan's this week's winner.
Well, congratulations, Brendan. And if someone was listening to the show and wanted to send in their question, then how could they get in touch with us, Gareth?
They could give us a call, David, on 0203 239 7543 or drop us an email on coach@pitchvision.com.
That's right. You can also get in touch with us via social media. Our Twitter is @pitchvisionacad and our Facebook is facebook.com/pitchvisionacademy. You can listen to the show every week by subscribing, and that's pretty easy to do. Get your favourite podcast app. Go in there, do a search for Pitch Vision Academy. You'll find us in there. You click on the subscribe button and it'll automatically download to your device, your phone, your tablet, your computer, whatever it is. And then if you want the full experience of streaming the show and getting the show notes and all the rest of it, then you can go onto the Pitch Vision Academy website. That's pitchvision.com/academy. And you can click on the podcast link there and you get all the show notes, all the old shows. You can download those shows if you want. You can stream them straight from the website, from your computer. So whichever way you want to listen, there is a way for you to do it. That's all for this week. We hope you listen next week. But until then, have a good week. Cheers, Gareth. Cheers, Lavers.
Cheers, fellas.